In Glasgow at the turn of the 20th century, there lived an old lady whom few people liked. Her name was Marion Gilchrist, and on December the 21st, 1908, which was to be the last day of her life, Miss Gilchrist, an upright, formidable, church-going woman of robust health and impeccable breeding, was a few weeks shy of her 83rd birthday. The city in which she lived was a vast, forbidding place of cobblestones, soot, and damp. Industrialisation had urbanised Glasgow, as it had much of the Western world. Cities, their skies black with coal, gorged themselves on the surrounding countryside. Suburbs sprang up to which solid middle-class men could return after a day at the office, and men and women from the country, less well-heeled than these new suburbanites, thronged the cities in search of work. In 1900, Glasgow's population of more than 750,000 made it, after London, the second largest city in Britain. By the late 19th century, as British cities teemed with new inhabitants, crime rates rose and more established residents came to be afflicted with a new, urban and distinctly modern anxiety. For the middle and upper classes, it centred acutely on the protection of property, coalescing in particular around city dwellers who were not members of the bourgeoisie. These included the working class, the poor, new immigrants, and Jews, all of whom were viewed increasingly as agents of social contagion, a threat in urgent need of containment. Newspapers and magazines of the period couched this anxiety in language that turned heavily on metaphors of invasion. In the spring of 1909, after Slater was convicted of Miss Gilchrist's murder, many publications decried his arrival on British soil in just such terms, one likening him to a vampire, a time-honoured pejorative applied to Jews. "Now an alien breed has come in," the Bailey, a respected Glasgow magazine, said that year. "Great Britain opens her arms to the foreign scum. Molish blackguards are on the prowl in the community." The Edinburgh Evening News wrote that Slater's trial has cast a lurid light on the dark places of our great cities, in which such wretches ply their calling. It shows a brood of alien vampires, lost to conscience, crawling in black depths and the basement of civilised society. Even by the standards of a frightened age, Marion Gilchrist was a remarkably frightened woman. She was born in Glasgow on January the 18th, 1826, the daughter of James Gilchrist, a prosperous engineer. In later years, after her mother's death, Miss Gilchrist, who never married, remained at home to care for her father. Before he died, she appears to have persuaded him to leave the bulk of his estate to her. As a result, she wound up far wealthier than any of her siblings. Miss Gilchrist had a bevy of nieces and nephews, though she seemed not to care much for them, nor they for her. "Miss Gilchrist was not on good terms with her relations," her niece Margaret Birrell, who lived nearby, told the police after the murder. "Few, if any, visited her." Among the rare people with whom Miss Gilchrist enjoyed a warm relationship was a former maid, Maggie Galbraith Ferguson, and her daughter, Marion Gilchrist Ferguson, named for her mother's old employer. On November the 20th, 1908, a month before she died, Miss Gilchrist altered her will. The previous version, which had been drawn up just 6 months earlier, had divided her estate, valued at more than £15,000, equivalent to about £1.3 million or $2 million in today's money, and including jewellery, paintings, furniture, silver, and considerable cash reserves, among various nieces and nephews. The new will left the balance of the estate to Maggie and Marion Ferguson.